is the Late Show on the BBC across the Midlands. Now, cast your minds back to this time last night. We were talking about the emotional side of getting a divorce, weren't we? And we had a chat to Susan Lee, who wrote the book Your Divorce Handbook. Now, she wasn't alone in writing this. She did it along with Katie McCann, who is a family lawyer and barrister. So we said tonight we're going to talk about the legalities of it all. So let's go there. We've got lots of messages coming in. So thank you for that. If there's any questions, then send them through to me and I'll put them through to Katie. But let's welcome her to the show. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Caroline.
Now, very nice to talk to you. I've got to ask you, though, I mean, your job, is it anything like what we've just seen on The Split that everybody seems to have been gripped by on the TV?
I have to say, Caroline, I haven't watched The Split.
Oh.
And I haven't watched it because I'm so scared that it's not going to live up to sort of real life.
Right.
But I can tell you this, it's not as glamorous as anything that is portrayed on the television. I can genuinely say that.
Okay. Well, I was reading an article today about their costumes and their outfits, because apparently the things they wore have now sold out, because we all need a power dress and a power overcoat and some power shoes. Okay, if it's not that glamorous, I'll take that. But it must be quite heart-wrenching because, I mean, as we found out last night, this is a hard thing for people to go through, and emotions do run high, don't they?
Incredibly high, Caroline, and it's one of the most difficult experiences, one of the most difficult journeys that anybody can go on. And I've been doing this job for a long, long time, and I can genuinely say I see clients go through, you know, the grief cycle.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'll see them going through anger and denial and blame until they eventually come through to acceptance. Whilst it's not a bereavement, it's not grief, they are still grieving the loss of their relationship, the loss of that life that they thought they were going to have. So, yeah, it's incredibly tough, incredibly difficult times for people.
Yeah, and it's a great change for people, isn't it? I mean, because, we talked last night about the fact that in more cases now, people are waiting until later in life. You know, they've got that empty nest syndrome, if you like. The kids have flown the nest, they've gone off to have their own life, and then there's two people just looking at each other across the room thinking, well, what we got to talk about now? And that is when they are kind of like going out and trying something new. And the whole dating again and all that sort of stuff, that must be difficult.
Again, incredibly difficult. But just talking about the later life divorces, I can genuinely say in my own practice, I have so many of them. And I think the phrase silver splitters was coined in the press because it's becoming so popular. And you're exactly right. It's when the children go off to university. There's been so much, you know, energy in the household. Everybody's been focusing on the children, day-to-day life, etc. And then there's this emptiness. And a lot of people think, do I want to carry on this next phase of my life with this person? We've changed so much over the last 20 years or whatever. Do we want to carry on together? And I suppose it's a time of reflection for them, and it really becomes raw when the children leave home.
Yeah. And I guess you get to that point where, and I don't mean to be miserable and maudlin about all of this, but when you get to that point of when you're in your 50s or whatever, you're thinking, hold on, nobody knows how much time they've got left anyway, do they? But you might be thinking, right, I've done all of this for the good. Now it's time for me. I want to actually live my life and do something for me now and go and have some fun.
Absolutely. And you see now so many people having, you know, second careers later on, you know, in their 50s, in their 60s, wanting to do things that they want to do for themselves. And they're not necessarily the same person that they were when they got married, you know, 30, 40 years earlier. So, yeah, absolutely, this later life divorce is actually becoming quite popular. Unfortunately.
Well, I'm sure that we may hear from some people that are going through it a bit later on. But, you know, we've got some questions that have come in, Katie. But if we look at it, in these terms, I mean, is it as simple as splitting everything 50-50, shaking hands and walking away? I mean, we know it isn't, but can it be?
Ooh, I'm going to give you the typical lawyer answer now, which is, well, it depends.
Right.
So the way I always liken this, Caroline, is I always think of the matrimonial pot like your favourite cake or your favourite pie. You can't eat it all at once. Everybody wants to, but you can't. You've got to slice it up into different pieces. So I always slice that pie for my clients into three separate areas. So we look at children. What are we going to do in terms of the arrangements for the children if kids are still living at home? We look at how we do the logistics, the actual kind of nuts and bolts of achieving the divorce. And then we look at the finances. But the finances can be really, really simple if there aren't many assets. Yes, we might be able to sit down and split it 50-50. Or if they're really quite complex, it's like looking at a big jigsaw puzzle piece and then the lawyer and the clients have to put all of those pieces together for it to start to make sense so that we can look at advice and we can look at different scenarios of bringing it to a conclusion. So the answer is yes, if the pot's really simple, it can be dead easy and we can split it 50-50 and I'll walk away. If the pot's a little bit more complex, it can take a lot more input.
Right. And I guess if we stick with that pot, it depends really if it's at boiling point, if it's simmering or if it's just chilling there, because we know that tempers can run high, can't they? And, you know, from what I've heard from people that have got in touch, you've got those that have grown apart, that want to be apart and they want to forge a life, you know, separate from one another. And then you've got other scenarios where maybe there's a third party involved and one of them is going off to be happy and the other one is, you know, well, brokenhearted and dealing with all of this as well. And tempers must flare then.
Tempers definitely do flare. And that, you know, talk about boiling point, you know, the temperature knob on the cooker sometimes is, you know, turned right up. Mm. But we have had very, very recently, and this may form some of your questions, and I might be preempting them, but we've had this huge development in family law and matrimonial law that shook everything up and made things completely different. And nothing's changed really in family law since the 70s, and that's no fault divorce. And what that's done is it's taken away the blame. So right at the beginning, where traditionally over the last couple of decades, somebody has had to blame the other party, and that has caused temperatures to absolutely boil over. We don't need to do that anymore. We've simply now got no fault divorce, and it's eliminated all of that blame.
Right.
And that came in April. So it's a brand new development, and it's new to us as lawyers as well at the moment, but it's incredibly welcomed.
So are you saying then that prior to this, somebody had to be at fault? Even if you'd got two people that didn't want to be together, on paper, somebody had to be at fault?
So it used to be that there were five grounds for divorce. So we had adultery, so that was somebody's fault. Unreasonable behaviour, so that was somebody's fault. If one party had deserted the other, and I have to be honest, I've never divorced anybody on that basis. And then we used to have two other, which were if they'd been separated for 2 years and they both consented, or if they'd been separated for 5 years. But most petitions that I've ever done in the whole of my career have been unreasonable behaviour petitions. So that's where, even if they just basically just fallen out of love, they just didn't want to be together anymore, one of them had to blame the other.